For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, December the 28th, 2002. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null, Salina, Kansas, is the teacher.
Jesus, come, Lord. Lord, we just ask for an outpouring of your Spirit this afternoon, Lord. For it's your Spirit, Lord God, that sets free. It's your Spirit that heals. It's your Spirit, Lord. It's by your grace and by your love. For your love does drive out all fear, for fear has torment. And we just thank you, Lord, for the outpouring of your Spirit. For grace and truth came with Jesus Christ. We thank you for your grace now, Lord. We ask for an outpouring of your grace and your love this day, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you and praise you and bless you. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you about the mistress. The mistress. Mistress. The false comforter. That when you get hurt or rejected, you have a mistress that will come to you and say, "Oh, you poor thing, I want to help you. Let me help you and love you." Now, Frank Hammond says the way that the mistress does it is he'll take his heel and just come right down on your big toe as hard as he can. And all of a sudden, you got something someplace else to attract your attention. But he doesn't always do it that way. Lots of times he will come with sweet words of comfort, encouragement, tell you were right. Yeah, they have really mistreated you. They have really been unfair to you. They really don't understand you. They really, why, if you, and you can do this, and then they will have to admit that you're smart. And you can do that, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And that's what the false comforter will do. Well, who is this deceiving rascal who would come in and speak such sweet things to you and pull you away from the will of God? Let's look at Genesis 6:5. It says, "The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually." Now let's look at 8:21. "And the Lord smelled the smooling aroma. And the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." Let's look over it in Jeremiah now, chapter 7. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 7, start with verse 23. "But this is what I commanded them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Walk in all the ways I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet you did not incline their ear." They did not obey or incline their ear. In other words, they wouldn't rebel and wouldn't listen to God, "but followed or walked in the counsels and stubborn imaginations of their evil hearts, and went backwards, not forward." Let's look at 11:8. "Yet you did not obey or incline your ear, but everyone followed the dictates or the imaginations of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring on them all the words of this covenant which I've commanded to them, but which they have not done. And let's look at 16:12. Let's start with verse 11. Well, let's start back at verse 10. And it shall be said, when you show this people all these words, they shall say to you, why has the Lord pronounced all these great disasters against us? What is our iniquity, or what is our sin that we've committed against the Lord our God? Then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord. They walked after other gods and served them and worshipped them and have forsaken me and not kept my law. But you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart, and no one listens to me. And he said, goodness, the evil dictates of the hearts. Now let's look at 23:17. Start at verse 16. And he's talking about false prophets who come into the people. For thus says the Lord of hosts, don't listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not of the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord says you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind, and shall fall on the head of the wicked, and the anger of the Lord shall not be turned back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart in the days. And come on down to verse 23. He says, I am a God near at hand, says the Lord, not a God far off. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him? Do I not fill the heaven and the earth? And so I want you to see, and I can read you a dozen other verses that says the same thing. And he talks about people who follow the evil imaginations of their heart. And what is that? That's fantasy. Now, I'm sure that I'm the only one who's ever had this problem. I'm sure none of y'all have ever fantasized. When you've gotten hurt, or when your things weren't going well, and you could fantasize on if you were in a little financial difficulty, and you remember back at this deal you could have made back there. You know, if I just listened to my first cousin who told me to buy Microsoft when it was $1 a share, you know, if I just invested that $20,000 I had in it, well, man, I'd be with $6 million today. And what could I do with that $6 million? And I can sit there and I can fantasize about how I was going to give so much to the church and how God was going to use me to be this great, to give all this money to all these people, you know. And that thing can come in and comfort you and tell you all the nice things people are going to say and how God is going to reward you. Now, y'all never had anything like that, but I tell you, that happened to me. And it's called evil imaginations. Fantasy of your own heart. Because God didn't call you to do that. You know, the truth is, I'm very happy I did not invest in it, because I don't know that I could handle that much money. I don't know what would have happened to me. Because I tell you, there's riches are deceiving. Or what would have happened to my children or my grandchildren? Could they handle having that much money? Or would they become like some wealthy families we know who murder people and get away with it, and who rape people and get away with it? Or have you all forgotten about the man who drove his car off into the ditch with the little girl in the back? You know, and went in the next day and said, well, he tried to get out of the car, then he went home and slept it off, and then went in and reported it. Never brought to trial, had a secret hearing, you know. But yet he still sits in the great legislature making laws for all the land. His nephew goes out and rapes somebody, and he calls his good friend down at the big newspaper, and they slander this little girl all over the state. All of her past sexual indiscretions are pulled everywhere. And, you know, his nephew gets off because he's being tried in his state for rape. Why? Because money. Great amounts of money. The world listens to money. And I tell you, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. I didn't mean to get into all of that. Y'all all know who I'm talking about. Not saying anything that's not been in the newspaper. God forgive me for talking about someone. Well, bring him to salvation, Lord. Touch him and bless him, Lord. Bring him to salvation in the name of Jesus, Lord. Just bless him, Lord. But now I want to say this to you. Someone came this morning and said, but you've been saved. You no longer got that evil heart they talked about in Genesis. Because when you got saved, God put a new heart in you. And he put his spirit in you and a new spirit in you. And you and let's look at that. Let's look at that. Let's look at Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, 26. You can look back at Jeremiah 31:33, Ezekiel 18:31 also, to get other scriptures on this. But it says, Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my commandments and do them. Now, you all know that's the promise of the new covenant, that you have a new heart put into you. Now, what is the heart? If you look up that word in Strong's Concordance and the theological textbook of the Old Testament, it tells you that word means your conscience, your intellect, your emotions, and your will. Those are the four things he's going to put new within you. That's the heart. Now, he's going to put a new spirit in there so that you can communicate with God. So your communion and your intuition will be restored. And your conscience is part of your spirit. But it's also part of the soul. It's attached to the soul. Because even the unsaved Pharisees had a conscience. You remember that Jesus wrote in the sand, and these unsaved Pharisees' conscience convicted them, and they walked away. And Paul says in Romans that the unsaved conscience telling them, their conscience telling them what's right and what's wrong. So the unsaved have a conscience. But God says he's going to put a new one within you. But you know what he left within you? He left something called self, the great, which I consider the great Antichrist spirit, me, myself, and I. What's good for me and for mine? And that is the thing that this evil imagination appeals to. And as you yield to it, you are committing spiritual adultery. You're not listening to God. This morning I read you a passage out of Isaiah 30, chapter 1 through 4, which says, oh, woe to the rebellious children who devise plans, but not of my spirit, who make a covering, but not of me, walk down to the world, go to the world, ask advice of Pharaoh, the devil. And so you have to say that even now, you have something that will come to you and comfort you in your sin or in your rejection and draw you away to tell you what you want to hear. And it may not be. It may sound good and pleasing and sweet, but it may not be the Lord. Particularly if you are in rebellion against him, what you're going to hear is the false comforter, the mistress. Okay, let's go on here. Now, God knows the imaginations of your heart. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 28:9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all the hearts and understands all the intents of the thought or imagination. If you seek him, you will be found by him. If you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. God knows the imaginations of your heart. Look at Proverbs 6, 17 and 18. Proverbs 6, it says, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that imagines wicked plans. Some translations say a heart that devises wicked plans. Now, what kind of heart would imagine? Well, the heart of the man sitting and watching the television set, and the jigglers go by, and they got that bounce to them, you know, and bad thoughts go through his mind. It's called lust. It's an abomination to God, and he knows what you're thinking. Now, the devil don't know what you're thinking, but he's guessing what you're thinking. But God knows, and it's an abomination to him. Guard your thought life, people, because God hates a mind that devises wicked plans. Or you've been hurt. You didn't get the promotion or the raise. And you say, I deserved it, but they cheated me. And so you take home some writing. Your child needs some paper for schoolwork. So you take some of the paper from the office and some pencils and some erasers and you put them in your purse and you take them home. You have devised a wicked plan. That comforter has made a thief out of you, telling you you deserve it. They cheated you. You're just taking what you really earned. And you can go on and on and on with examples. But when something comes to you and tells you to take something that's not yours, to lust after something that is forbidden. What does lust mean? It means strongly desire. And you sit there and you entertain it in your mind. You are not obeying God's voice, nor inclining to his ear, because he said, don't do that. Right here. In his word. He says, don't do that. For if you do, what happens to you? He says, Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. He says, the word of God is sharp and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, living. And praise you, Lord Jesus, 4:12. For the word, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God, and they speaking is Jesus Christ, it's a living word, is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There's no creature hidden from his sight, and all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. What did Paul say? Paul said we would all stand before the judge, the Brenner seat of Jesus Christ. You're going to stand before the judgment seat. You're not only going to answer for what you said. Matthew 12 says you're going to answer for every idle word you've spoken. You're going to answer for every thought and intent of your heart. For it's all naked before him. Guard your thought life, people. Now let's look at Proverbs 12:20, while we're in Proverbs 20. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise or imagine evil. Deceit comes into your heart and deceives you. You think you're doing right. You're taking that paper and pencils and eraser home to your child that you've stolen, and you think you're doing right because this evil counselor has come and deceived you. And why did he deceive you? Because you were in rebellion, and you felt sorry for yourself, and you were in rebellion, and you accepted it. God is touching your conscience, saying, stealing is wrong. You say, I earned it. It's mine. I earned it. They cheated me out of it. And so you won't hear God. You won't obey him. And your conscience is screaming at you. After a couple of times, the conscience quits. And then you're convinced you're right. And what happens? A rebellious person seeks only evil, and a cruel messenger will be sent to comfort him, sent to him. Cruel. Remember we talked this morning about cruel messenger being an evil angel? And we talked about the examples of the evil angels, those angels that went out with the death spirit over Egypt. Those that went and drove poor King Saul crazy, that distressing spirit from the Lord. The spirit of ill will that arose between Abimelech and Shechem. All the same word. Oh, Jesus. Well, let's look at Deuteronomy, I think it's 29. I didn't put it in the notes now. But let's look at Deuteronomy 29. Starting with verse 14. I make this covenant, this oath, not with you alone. Now, Moses is speaking for God. But with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. That's y'all. Let's go on down to verse 18. So that there may not be among you a man, a woman, a family, a tribe, whose heart turns away from the Lord our God and goes to serve the gods of the nation, of those nations, that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. Remember I said that bitterness and rebellion were the same Hebrew word, mara. So it may not happen. So it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse, he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. The Lord would not spare him. For when the anger of the Lord and his jealousy should burn against that man, and every curse is written in this book will settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. That is for those people who follow the evil desires and intents of their own hearts, the imaginations, and become deceived. That evil comforter will come in and deceive them. Well, we've been in the Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Okay. Start with verse 20. We'll start with verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, you know that suppress the truth, that means they knew the truth, but they chose to suppress it and become deceived. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, the Godhead, so they are without excuse. In other words, they can look around and they can see the world and everything working in function and everything moving in order and say that there's clearly a God, a maker, who made this. Only a fool, an ignoramus. You know what agnostic means? You know somebody proudly says, I'm agnostic. You know what that means? A means without. Gnostic means intelligence. It means I am an ignoramus. And that's what God agrees with them. They are an ignoramus if they say they don't believe in God. By their own mouth. That's what the words mean. They're without excuse. Because they knew God, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him in God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts became futile in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Now, the full word fool there comes from the word moronic, from which we get moron, and change the glory of the incorruptible God in the image made like corruptible man and birds and so forth. And therefore God gave them to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And so what you see, I won't go any further into that, because if I get in, I won't ever get out. Well, you will see a gradual downward decline into perversion. And that is when the perverse spirit comes in. A perverse, rebellious spirit. And you follow that. And it comes from the futile imaginations, the deception that comes from the futile imagination of their hearts. It's spiritual adultery. And that's the reason I call it the mistress. because it is a spiritual adultery that comes to you and comforts you and says sweet things to you and tells you that you were right, they were wrong, encourages you in your position of rebellion, and encourages you to think, dream, live in a dream world, an unreal world. And you can wander off into fantasy and build air castles in the air. Now, you know what an air castle is? It is said that the neurotic builds the air castles. The psychotic dwells in them. And the psychiatrist collects the rent on them. So if you want to move into that, you can become schizophrenic. If you live in the futile imagination of your mind and separate yourself from reality long enough and believe it, you will move into schizophrenia. And then the psychiatrist will collect the rent off of your air castle that you live in, the delusional pattern that you set yourself into. They got all kind of drugs for it now that will suppress the symptoms but won't ever cure you. The only cure is to be delivered from rejection, which is the root cause, which leads you into rebellion and fear, which leads you into the vain imaginations, to the mysteries. And if you go work your way back through, and to give it up is asking people to give up something they draw comfort from. It's like asking an alcoholic to give up drink. You know, he drinks because it suppresses the pain. He doesn't have to face the problem and change them. He just drinks and suppresses the memory. Drugs given to a psychotic, a schizophrenic, a psychotic, a manic depressive, a bipolar, don't heal them, but they suppress the pain. So they don't manifest as much. But it takes more and more drugs. But it will suppress the symptoms. And of course you get side effects from this. And you have to take other drugs to manifest as to suppress the side effects. And it's an endless treadmill and you don't ever get well. You live in a sorcerer's dream. The sorcerer is a man who gives drugs. Poisoner, a druggist. The word sorcery in Greek is pharmakamichi, from which we get our modern word pharmacy or pharmacist. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, you want to know what that means? I've heard lots of definitions of that. But the weapons of your warfare are mighty in God for pulling down the stronghold. Now, what's a stronghold? That's a castle where the demon lives. You got a stronghold in your life? Does lust have a hold of you? Where you always want to be rich? Or you're lusting after a new car, a new house, a new furniture, or new clothes? Or maybe you're lusting after a new body and you're over there in the plastic surgeon's office, you know, having it pushed up and getting rid of these wrinkles and sucking this and having this sucked out and put some back in, some up here, and you know, you're going, a lot of making your nose fixed, getting rid of this receding hairline, having little transplants put in there so you get a little hair on the front. Or maybe you're taking Rogaine. Y'all know what Rogaine is? 10 years ago, Rogaine came out, 15 years ago, and we had a dermatologist in town. And she was talking to us about this wonderful drug that kept men's hair from falling out. And it was sort of expensive at that time. It took cost about $200 a month. That was a lot of money 10 years ago. And then they had to go to the doctor and get once a month. And then they had to go over to the hospital and have a whole bunch of tests run to make sure it wasn't affecting their liver. And all told, it's been about $300 a month on this Rogaine. And once you stop taking it, if your hair all fell out, if this much is supposed to have been received while you take it, it all fell out at one time. You lost it all. No, you couldn't stop. You don't have a treadmill. You had to keep taking it. And I went up to the dermatologist, and I said to her, and she's a lady dermatologist, and I said, surely you can't have many men who are willing to pay $300 a month to keep their hair from falling out. And she just laughed. She said, Doctor, you have no idea how many vain men there are in this town. She said, I have lots of them. And a lot of them getting that didn't come out soon enough for them, so they're having some taken over back here and sprigged in here like Bermuda grass, you know. So that they can comb it back. And you see a lot of folks that'll comb their hair forward, you know, and plaster it down. And you look and they got a part right back in the back, and it's all about this long. I remember in high school, we were down in Alabama. I went up to visit my girlfriend who was in Stevens College in Missouri. And the wind was blowing real hard. I went up with this friend of mine. And he was a little bit older than I was. And we got out and that wind started blowing. And I tell you, he had his hair all plastered forward and plastered down. It looked like he was this long. He had it all curled around. He was bald as a cucumber. He was about 23 or 24 years old. I never seen anything like that. You know, I was stunned. But, praise your Lord God. There are people who are unhappy with themselves, unhappy with their body. Imagine themselves as Charles Atlas. They're going to do the Charles Atlas course. They're going to make all the money, or they're going to get the big job, and they're going to be boss, and then folks are going. And these are all evil imaginations in your mind. And they're a mistress that will come. Or they're going to get rich off the Internet. They're folks who make a living calling folks on the telephone, telling them how they're going to sell them this wonderful stuff, become a salesman for Amway, and boy, you'll just get rich. And then about 50 different Amways. They talk about how Amway, multi-level marketing was. And these people are out trying to sell all this thing, make folks salesmen for this thing, and they get so much of a cut back and so forth. And these people are sitting all day long calculating how much money they can make. They can just get 6 more folks selling, and they're going to get the percentage off of that. And those folks get 10 more selling, and they're going to get a percentage off, cut off of all these people, how much money they're going to make. But they got to put up $40 or $50 to start with, and that's in. And praise your Lord Jesus. Get rich on somebody else's labor. Go down to the casino and hit the big jackpot. These are evil imaginations. These are the false comforter. And what do you do? Well, it says here, you pull down imaginations in every high thing that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. Can you do that? You guard your thought life. And I'm going to say this to you. There was a watchman, he said, that you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you don't have to let them make a nest in your hair. And the devil will bombard your mind with thoughts. And you need to push those thoughts out. Don't let them sit. You don't have to let them make a nest there. You just say no. Whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is praiseworthy, think on these things. What do you say? You start singing praises to God. You start getting those bad scriptures. Memorize scripture. Memorize the 91st Psalm. And start quoting it to the devil out loud. memorize Scripture, and realize that it has to be the power of God. Philippians says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to do His good pleasure. That verse, you know, that really didn't mean a lot to me. I thought about it and thought about it. Then one day, somebody gave me a New Living Translation, and this is what it says. Philippians 2:12. Dearest friends, you are always so careful to follow my instructions when I was with you. Now that I am away, you must be even more careful to put into action God's saving work in your lives, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey Him and the power to do what pleases Him. You must rely on the Holy Spirit. That's the reason you need to sing psalms, sing hymns. Now, I've memorized about 12 of the old hymns of the church that I knew when I was a little boy. And when I'm driving, when I'm walking down the hall, I sing them. I sing Onward Christian Soldiers. I sing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. I sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. I sing and I hum these hymns when I go down the hall in the hospital. Everybody knows I'm coming because they can hear me. I didn't think it was quite so obvious, but everybody says, yeah, he's the one who sings all the time, sings hymns all the time. But then when I'm doing that, I can hear God, and it pushes that out of my mind. And my mind is not passive. And what is a passive mind? It's a mind not doing anything. And that's fertile ground for the devil. He can push thoughts into it that can stay there and multiply. You know, when the Hindus want you to teach you yoga and get that yoga demon to come into you, what do they tell you? Your mind. And they give you a yanta to say. That we've all heard the sounds of two hands clapping. Consider the sound that one hand clapping makes. And you sit there and they know they don't make, you know, you can't clap with one hand. And that's snapping your fingers, brother. This is clapping. You can't make no sound with one hand. And you sit there and think about that sound. What's that sound like? And your mind, you clear your mind out. And whatever comes in, and I'll tell you what it is, what's going to come in is going to be the devil. That's a passive mind. Or when you get hypnotized, you have somebody with a familiar spirit stand there and talk to you, and you accept that familiar spirit into you through a passive mind. Now, you can actively resist it, and it won't come in. So, you stand against these things, realizing that the root cause is rejection. Remember that your father, that your birthright from Adam was rejection. That's your birthright from Adam. And you were created in the image of the fallen Adam. It says in Genesis chapter 5, it said, he had a son named Seth after his own image and likeness. And that's the one Noah descended from. And we all come from the seed of Noah. Because everybody else died in the flood except Noah's seed. And so you were created in the image of the fallen Adam. Now God did give you a new heart and a new spirit. But he gave you self too. And you can't cast self out. You've got to crucify it every day. That's what Jesus said. When you lay down your life and take up your cross and follow me daily. That word life there is suke. Soul life. You. Soulish life. You. It's suke. Now I can talk. I don't want to get into that. I can talk an hour and a half on that. But how do you resist evil imaginations? You center in on God. You center in and you're on the Holy Spirit. You praise Him. You memorize His Word. You speak His Word. And you concentrate on what He's called you to do. And you say, guide me, Lord, and show me. And if you're moving in His Spirit under His covering, He has got His wing over you. And there ain't no holes in a wing. But if you move out from under His wing, you're under a spider's web. God showed me that. You know, a spider's web got holes in it? And that demon is sitting up there, and he got this long old spear, and he reaches down, and he hits you, oh, God! And you're wounded, and you get back up under the cover, and then God will come and heal it, you know? But you don't have to get out from under it and get wounded. But sometimes you just get out there, and the demon, he don't wound you. He comes and comforts you with the sweet, seductive voice and pulls you away. And so it comes through rebellion, and it comes through fear. Rebellion and pride. Pride leads to rebellion. And you follow the evil imaginations. Now, if you've been rebelled, if you've been hurt real bad, rejected and hurt, you don't forgive them. You just going to get even. I don't get mad, I get even. That's rebellion. Boy, that's bitterness. Then you won't. Revenge and power, retaliation, murder and death. And though that is what the evil imagination will consist of and tell you that you're right doing it. But it comes in fear, then you will be sorry for yourself. And you'll turn to the world for love. And your evil imaginations, well, the world gives you lust, the lust of the eye. The new car, the new house. New marriage partner? Give me a new husband, a new wife, not one that's frigid. And so, what do you do with those? You push those out of your mind. You say, no, that is not godly. And you start to sit down and read your Bible. If you're driving down the highway and you can't read your Bible, you put your cassette or your praise tapes in and start praising God. Or you do like I do, you start singing. And I sing terrible, honey. I sing off key. But you know it sounds sweet to God. And He anoints it. I was at a meeting down at Chris Simpson's. And this lady fell down with a kidney stone. And she was writhing in pain. I was praying for her to be healed. And God said, sing to her. So I start singing. There were some folks around me sort of joined me and trying to help me out a little bit. But you know, that stone dissolved into ground and passed. Because we were singing. God anoints praise. And it sounds beautiful to Him. And you pull down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bring your thoughts into captivity to Christ. And you do that through praise and worship, through reading of the Word, reciting of the Word, being obedient to God. And you don't get caught into what should have been, what I should have said, what I should have done. You know, the saddest word of 10 and 10, it ought to been. That's what William Longfoot Uncle wrote a poem once called The Reapers. And this man was watching. He saw this wonderful, good-looking lass out there reaping the hay. And he thought about how he wanted to be married to her and live out here in the country among God's people. And as he went on, he said, the saddest tongue, word of tongue and pen it might have been. And so we wrote a sequel to it. And about his unpleasant life when he came and married that young lady. And we said, it should, the saddest word of tongue and pen, it shouldn't have ought to been. But the should have ought to been, should have been, if only it had been, those are the words of the false comforter. Now, who is the comforter? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, and rejection is tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have been comforted by God. Let's look at John 14, 15 to 17. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, or paraclete, that he may abide with you forever. He identifies him as the Spirit of Truth. Okay? Look at John 15, 26. But when the Comforter comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, he proceeds from the Father and will testify of me. Do y'all understand the symbolism of the word paraclete? When a man was accused of a crime and he had to stand before the council to be judged, he had to answer for himself. No one else could answer for him. But he could hire the smartest, best lawyer in the country, the smartest advocate, the best lawyer in the country, who would stand by his side and whisper the answers in his ear. That man was known as the paraclete. The Holy Spirit will come up. Now, it means literally one who comes alongside, the God of all comfort. Now, comfort means to strengthen. To exhort means to come alongside in comfort. You know, prophecy is given for exhortation. That means to come alongside from the same root as paraclete. And so, God will send prophecy to strengthen you and comfort you in these tribulations, to help you stand against the false comforter, to comfort you, to build you up, and strengthen you for exhortation, comfort, and edification. Exhortation, the paraclete will come along beside you. Comfort means to strengthen. Paul says, we were comforted when Titus came by and told us that you had not turned from the faith. And that word means we were strengthened in our witness when we knew that you had not turned away. And so, you call upon the Holy Spirit and he will send prophecy to you. Manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit to build you up, comfort you, and strengthen you. That doesn't mean you run around and ask every Tom, Dick, and Harry if they got a word for you. I'll tell you, every familiar spirit, every religious spirit in the church will be glad to prophesy to you. If God has got a word for you, you have to go ask for it. The prophet will come and give it to you. Praise the Lord. And if the word of prophecy does not comfort, exhortate, and edify, it is not from God. If it does not speak according to this, Isaiah 8 says, if it does not speak according to this word, there is no life in it. If it causes confusion or bondage, it is not from God. God's not a God author of confusion. He's not the author of bondage, for in him there's liberty. The last thing is it witness to your spirit? Is it witness to you? That sound right? Holy Spirit will witness it in your spirit. It can meet all of these things that I've just spoken and still not witness to your spirit. Don't witness to your spirit, you put it upon a shelf. Say, God, you've got to show me. Because out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, everything is confirmed. And you don't have to speak that out. You just have to say it to God in your mind because he hears you. The devil can't hear what you're saying there. The devil can't read your mind. Only God knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. Everybody look at me sort of funny. Let's look back over here at 1 Kings. Oh, Jesus, where is it, Lord? Have I got it? Okay. 1 Kings 8. It's also in 2 Chronicles 6:30, but 1 Kings 8:39. When you are here in heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive and act and give according to everyone, according to his ways, whose hearts you know. For you alone know the hearts of all men. Devil can't read your mind. The heart, what did I say? your will, your intellect, your emotion, and your conscience. God knows those, and God alone knows them. The devil don't know them. And you say, doesn't witness, you think in yourself, Lord, that don't witness to me. You show me if that's true, Lord. I'll wait on it. I'll put that on the shelf. And you say that very quietly in your heart and wait on God. The devil don't know what you're going to do with that false word he sent you. Now you tell him, and he'll meet the conditions and try to deceive you. You don't have to tell him. God knows without you speaking. Well, I've talked a little longer than I thought I would. I hope I made the point to you about the mistress. And I tell you that you got to give up your mistresses. You got to give up lusting. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You got to give up your vain imaginations, your daydreaming, and center in on the will of God for your life. If you don't know what it is, then you ask God to show you and walk with God. Stay under the wing. Don't get out from under the wing. Don't get in rebellion so that an evil angel will be sent to you. If you sin, 1 Kings 8, a few verses down there, I don't remember the number, says that for there is no one who does not sin. If you slip, God has laid up grace for you. If you sin, God's laid up grace for you that if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It says, if we walk in the light as He's in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. That cleanses us is a continuing phase, but it's only as by the measure that we walk in the light as He's in the light. But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just. That's 1 John 1, 8 and 9. To cleanse us from all sin. If you go down and confess your sin and with true humility of heart and ask God for a spirit of repentance to turn away from it, He'll cleanse you and He'll give you what you need, the strength you need to walk away from that sin and not do it again. Don't be like the couple I was counseling, and they were going down to the motel every Saturday and sleeping together, and they, God gave me a vision for it, and I told them, and they got up and said, well, we confess it as sin every time when we get out of bed. We get out and confess that sin for God and ask Him to forgive us. And I said, you mean tell me that you get on bed and confess that sin, ask God to forgive, knowing full well next Saturday you're going to be back there doing the same thing all over again? And I said, yeah. I said, don't you realize that you have insulted God? That's what it says. If you come to a knowledge of the truth and you continue in sin, you have insulted God, the Spirit of grace. Insulted Him. Because He knows better. And you've insulted Him. Don't insult God. Don't grieve Him. You don't want to grieve God. And so I say to you, you need to turn away from your lust. And you turn away by confessing it as sin. If you've been in it to the point that you've come into demonic bondage, and this will lead into bondage. I showed you that it leads to bondage. Ezekiel 16, it says it leads to bondage, Ezekiel 16. It'll lead you into a demonic bondage because you'll open the door and let a demon come in. And you'll have all kind of screwy thoughts in your mind. And you have a hard time thinking because all these thoughts are people running through your mind. You can't get rid of them. Or you have this compulsion. You just got to do this. That television set just says, and you turn it to that, what's the name of that show? HBO? Yeah, there it is. You just turn it on. It's there. Or you go to the internet, and it's there. Running across the room, and you can come into bondage, into demonic bondage, and then you lead yourselves into self-gratification. Well, I don't know what that means. I'm talking about masturbation, okay? Self-gratification, self-pleasuring. Praise you, Lord God. And that is the false comforter. And in the end, you wind up in demonic bondage if you listen to Him. Praise God. Well, let's all stand up and praise God a little bit. to keep me talking. I can talk for another 45 minutes, but I've said all I really intend to say. I'd just be covering the same ground over again. Lord Jesus, thank you. Everybody hold up their hands and praise Him and stomp your feet and jump up and down and get the blood out of your feet and out of your fanny and back up to your brain. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise God. Am I the only one in here who's got a voice? Praise your name, Lord. We praise you and bless you and we glorify you, Lord. Thank you and praise your name. All right, y'all can sit down now. Say, dear Lord, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Died on the cross for my sin. Was manifested in the flesh on this earth. Then He died on the cross for my sin. Was raised from the dead. Ascended into heaven. Sits on that right hand of the Father. Ever to make intercession for me. He has adopted me into the family of God. I am a child of the living God. I am not a rejected child. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. The blood of Jesus has redeemed me out of the hand of the enemy. All my sins are forgiven. Ephesians 1:7. And I have been accepted in the beloved. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I confess my sin and the sins of my father. I ask that the curse be broken on me and on my children forever in the name of Jesus. Lord, I forgive everybody who's ever hurt me, cheated me, abused me, rejected me, hurt me in any way, in the name of Jesus. I forgive them and ask you to bless them if they're still alive. Bring them to salvation, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I confess my sexual sin, Lord. I ask forgiveness under the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I break all ungodly soul ties to anyone who's ever controlled me or abused me, that I've had sex with outside of matrimony, that I've ever lusted after. I break these ungodly soul ties and I release any foreign soul that's in me and I call back my soul in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I bind the spirit of vain imaginations, the spirit of lust, lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. I bind them and command them to leave me now. All desire to be rich, all greed, all envy, all jealousy, in the name of Jesus. All revenge, all retaliation, all murder, all self-pity, all unfairness. I bind these things. Command them to leave me now. I confess that I am not a Canaanite. I have been adopted. I am not rejected. I am a child of God. I renounce my heritage for the Amorites and the Hittites. I bind the spirits of fear and pride In the name of Jesus. Command them to leave me now. In the name of Jesus. Now turn them loose. Come out. Come on out. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Now, we're going to have a mass deliverance service. And I want all of you to set your minds on what I'm saying. Keep both feet flat on the floor and set your mind against the spirits and push them out. I don't want you praying in tongues. I don't want you saying Jesus' name. I just want you to think about it and push that thing out. It's like having a baby. Now, you women know how to have a baby, know how to push. Men, if you ever watched your wife have a baby, you know you got to push and labor. And sometimes as these things are getting these things, that's like a, sometimes they jump right out, and sometimes they have to push them out. They don't want to leave. The bigger they are and the stronger they are, the more they want to stay. So push them out. Turn loose and let happens what happens. You worried about what somebody's going to say? Are you worried about your dignity? You got to choose between your demons and your dignity. Let your demons go. You can get your dignity back. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirits of incest now in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of incest. I command it to come out. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Just everybody listen to what I'm saying. Now, come on out, incest. I want all the spirits of incest out in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of incest in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of rebellion and rejection and pride. Come on out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out, all of you. Go out. All the rejection. Come out. Rejection. Rejection by mother. Rejection by father. Rejection by friends. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out. All spirits of rebellion, rejection, pride, fear. Fear come out. Fear come out in the name of Jesus. The love of God does drive out all fear, for fear has torment. I bind the tormenting spirits and I command them to go now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind, I come against the spirit of the counsel, the false counsel, the vain imaginations. And came, come on out, 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 in the name of Jesus, come out of there in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to be gone in Jesus' name. Turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus. Come against all the spirits of rebellion. Rebellion. Come out, rebellion. Rebellion in the name of Jesus. All spirits of lust, sexual fantasy, masturbation. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave God's people. Come out. Come out. Bondage to sex, bondage to vain imaginations, bondage to desire to be rich, bondage to desire for power and witchcraft. I bind the Jezebel spirits. I say, Jezebel, come out. Come out, Jezebel. Come out. All Jezebel spirits, come on out of there. Come on out. Come out and shut up and come out, spirit, in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All of you, in the name of Jesus, come out. Out, 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 out. Out! Out! In the name of Jesus! Out! Out! In the name of Jesus! Praise your Lord! Demon, you will not make a... You will quit making a show and you will come out now in the name of Jesus. Shut up and come out. Come on, shut up and come out. Shut up and come out. I bind your tongue. Shut up and come out in the name of Jesus. All of you now. In the name of Jesus, I just break the power of these things. Come out, all the pride, come out, in the name of Jesus, pride, come out, hardness, come out, pride and hardness, come out, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out, all pride, hardness, desire for money, desire to be rich, come out, in the name of Jesus Christ, come on out, 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 all of you, out, 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 all of you, come on out, all of you, come out, in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Out. Be gone. Every bit of you. Every bit of you. Come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of pride now. I bind the false counselor. Come on out. The lust for money. The lust for money. The lust for pride. The lust for power and position. Come out. For revenge and retaliation. Come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. Come out with your roots. With your roots. All you serpentine devils, I bind you and I break your power, serpentine. Come on out. Demon, I spoke to you. Come out of there in the name of Jesus and be quiet and come out. Come on. I bind your tongue in the name of Jesus. I bind your tongue. You come out in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone. All of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the power of it in the name of Jesus. Come out. I come out against the spirits of witchcraft now. Bitterness. I pull out the root of bitterness. I pull out the root of bitterness. I pull out the root of bitterness. I bind you in that chair by the living spirit of the living God. You cannot move. In the name of Jesus Christ, come out, root of bitterness. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I pull out the root of bitterness. Come out. I speak to serpentine. I speak to the spirit of the python in the name of Jesus. Come out, python, in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the spirit of the python now in the name of Jesus. The spirit of divination, come out. In Jesus' name. Come out, all you divinating spirits, all you familiar spirits, all you religious spirits, come out. I speak to the spirit of faith only. Come out, faith only. Faith only, come out. Out. All the spirits of faith only, come out. All the spirits of the prosperity gospel, come out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, all of you. All of you, in Jesus' name. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Praise your name, Lord. I speak to the spirits of murder and anger and rage and hostility. Come out. All the spirits of murder and anger and rage and hostility tell you to come out. I pull out bitterness now in the name of Jesus Christ, retaliation and murder. I come against the spirits of perfection. Come on out. Perfection. Come on out. Intolerance, anger, and frustration. Come out. Perfection spirits. Come on out. Fear spirits. Out. Now I speak to the serpentine devils. I speak to all the serpentine devils, the martial arts spirits. I speak to the spirit of the martial arts. Turn him loose now. Come out of him in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, come on out, all of you. Out. All right, you martial arts demons, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind you. That's right. I bind you. I bind you in this chair. I bind your tongue. And I just say, come out of him in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. All the martial arts spirits. Come on out. 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 Come out. Come on out. Taekwondo. Taekwondo. Come on out. Karate. Taekwondo. All of you, come out. All of you, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind your tongue in Jesus' name. I bind your tongue. Yes. Yes. Come on out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out of his back. Come on out. Turn his mind loose. Turn his mind loose. Turn his mind loose. Every bit of you, uncoil and come out of his mind now. Every bit. Come on out. He doesn't want you. He doesn't want you. He doesn't want you. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out. All of you. Come on out of there in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now I speak to the infirmity spirits. I say to you that Jesus bore all of our infirmities, all of our sorrow, and all of our grief. That's all of our pain and all of our sickness. And by his stripes we have been healed. I speak the healing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ now. I bind the spirits of headaches. I bind the spirits of encephalitis, of headaches, of brain damage in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of learning disabilities, of dyslexia, of learning disorders, attention deficit disorders. I bind them and I break their power and I command them to come out of God's people now. I break the curse of it in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of that's come down through the family line. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Turn them loose and come out now. Come out. I break the curse of the amnesia. And I say, come out, amnesia. And I bind you and I break your power. And I say, come out in the name of Jesus. All the amnesia, I break the curse of amnesia. Loss of memory. Unable to learn. Unable to retain. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All of you learning disability spirits, come out now in Jesus' name. I bind you. I speak to all the deafness. I speak to the deaf and dumb spirits. I speak to deaf spirits. Tinnitus spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to all the dizziness, tinnitus in the name of Jesus, ringing in the ears. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power. And I say, come out of God's people. And I speak to the spirits that cause hay fever. I speak to allergies and hay fever and asthma and sinus troubles, and I bind them and I command them to be gone. I break the curse of allergies in the name of Jesus and command them to come out now and be gone. All allergies, high blood pressure, I break the power of high blood pressure. I break the power of fear and high blood pressure in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you sickness spirits, come out of God's people in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of gingivitis in the name of Jesus. Come out, gingivitis. The curse of roof canals in the name of Jesus Christ. The curse of carious teeth in the name of Jesus. I break it and I speak healing to God's people. Lord, put gold fillings in their mouth, Lord, now in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of... Come out, come out, come out. Break the power of trench mouth and command it to be gone. I break the power of laryngitis. Come out, laryngitis. Come out, laryngitis, sore voice. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Vocal nodes on the cords. I break the power of Hashimoto's disease in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of Hashimoto's disease. I break the power of thyroiditis, of low thyroid, high thyroid, no thyroid. I bind it and I command it to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of dysphagia, dysfunction. I break the power of gastric reflux in the name of Jesus. I speak to gastric reflux and I say be gone out of God's people. Hyperacidity, gastric reflux, stomachal, duodenal losses. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of belching in the name of Jesus Christ. Of stomach pain in the name of Jesus. Of polyps in the stomach. I break the power of hepatitis, cholelithiasis in the name of Jesus. Break the power of kidney stones, kidney infection, pyelitis, cystitis, enteritis, colitis, Crohn's disease, pancreatitis. I bind you all and command you to leave God's people. I break the power of cancer. Cancer, I bind you in Jesus' name. Cancer, I command you to be gone. Cancer of the breast, cancer of the cervix, cancer of the prostate, cancer of the colon. All cancer spirits, I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. Just go. I break the power of stubbornness now. The power of rebellion and stubbornness that leads to alcoholism and gluttony in the name of Jesus. Stubbornness. It leads to gluttony in the name of Jesus. I break the power of stubbornness and rebellion. That our son is a stubborn. He is stubborn. He will not hear the voice of his father and his mother. He is stubborn and rebellious. He is a drunkard and a glutton. I bind those spirits in the name of Jesus. And I say, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. I bind you and I break your power. I break the power of flat feet. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of flat feet and varicose veins. Break the power of backaches in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to broken bones, to strained backs, to strained ligaments. And I speak healing and restitution now. Lord, let your power come down on God, on your people, Lord God. Let your healing grace flow down now, Lord. Let it flow down, Lord. Flow, river. Come up here, Crystal. Flow, river, flow. Lord, touch this child. Touch her, Lord. Let your healing grace, hold out your hands to Crystal. Let your healing grace flow through her, Lord. I speak healing now in the name of Jesus. I speak the healing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let your healing grace flow down in the name of Jesus. Let it flow, Lord. Let it flow into her, Lord. I speak healing to her back in the name of Jesus. To her hips, to her back in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to the damaged muscles, to the damaged ligaments, to the damaged bones that have been strained and pulled out of place. I say, move back in place in the name of Jesus. Patty, come up here. I speak healing, healing to her now in the name of Jesus. I speak the healing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heal her, Lord. Pour your strength into her, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Put your hand on her back. Put your hand on her breast and on her stomach, down low right here. Right there. Right there. Come on in there. Come on out. Come on. Come on. Come on. Heal her. Heal her. Speak healing. Come on out of there. Come on out. Come on out. I speak healing to it in the name of Jesus. Healing. Put your hand in the front. Put your hand in the front. Down low. Come on out. Come on out of there in the name of Jesus. Come on out of there. Come on out. Out, 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 out. Come on out. Come on out. Out, 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 out in the name of Jesus. I speak healing and restitution to this child. A healing, healing now. Come on, come on. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus' name, Jesus, the love of God does drive you out. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ. My little sister, you can't have her. You turn her loose. You will turn her loose. You will turn my little sister loose. My little sister, and God loves her. And the love of God does drive you out. The healing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let your grace flow into her, Lord God. Let your grace flow in. Let your grace flow in, Lord God. Let your grace flow in now in the name of Jesus. Grace. Grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for these women, Lord God. I thank you for these women, Lord God. Thank you for these wonderful women, Lord God. Just bless them, Lord God. Bless these faithful servants, Lord God. Just bless them, Lord God. Spread your wing over them. Praise you, Jesus. Speak to them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Bless Debbie over there now, Lord. Come up here, Debbie. Wait a minute. Come up here, Debbie. Lord, oh God, touch this one's back too. Put your hand on her back and on her leg. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak healing to her in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to God's child. Let your grace flow through her now, Lord. Let your grace, it's for by grace. By grace, Lord, let your grace flow into her now, Lord God. Just grace and healing, Lord. In Jesus' name. More of it, Lord. More of your grace, Lord. More of your grace, Lord. As she stood in your word, Lord God, and she stood in faith, Lord. I speak healing and restitution now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. More, Lord. Heal her legs, heal her back, heal her neck, heal her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. In the name of Jesus, heal her mind, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that she can. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody else got back trouble? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Put your hand on her back. Touch her, Lord. Lord, just let your back flow. Let your healing grace flow through her, Lord. More of your grace, Lord God. I speak healing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I speak the healing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God. Just touch her, Lord. Let your healing grace flow through her. I bind you and I break your spirit. I speak to you, Serpentina. You serpentine devil, you will uncoil off this child and you will take your fangs out of her hip and you will turn her loose in Jesus' name. Turn loose now. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out of there. All of you. All of you. Come out. Come up out of her back in the name of Jesus. Come on. Turn her loose. Turn her loose. Turn her loose in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Touch her, Lord. Touch her, Lord. Touch her. With your grace, Lord God. With your grace. With your grace. More of your grace, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Complete the work that you've begun in our Lord. David. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.